Exodus 20:12 and John 19, verses 26 through 27. Our message this morning is titled, How to Honor Your Mother. How to Honor Your Mother. The famous columnist Irma Bombeck wrote a Mother's Day humorous article in 1974 titled, When God Created Mothers. She said this, when the good Lord created mothers, he was into his sixth day of overtime when an angel appeared and said, you're doing a lot of fiddling on this one. The Lord replied, have you seen the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointing love affair. And 6 pairs of hands. The angel shook her head slowly and said, 6 pairs of hands? No way! It's not the hands that are causing me problems, the Lord said. It's the 3 pairs of eyes that mothers have to have. One pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, what are you kids doing in there? And she already knows. Another pair in the back of her head so that she sees what she shouldn't, but what she needs to know. And of course, the ones in the front that look at a child when he goofs up and says, I understand and I love you, without even saying a word. He said, I'm so close to creating something that is so close to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she is sick, can feed a family of 6 on 1 pound of hamburger, and get a 9-year-old to stand under the shower. The angel circled around the model of a mother and very slowly said, it's too soft. But she's tough, said the Lord excitedly. You can't imagine what a mother has to endure. Can it think? Said the angel. Not only can she think, she can reason and compromise. Finally, the angel bent over and ran her finger across the cheek of the mother. There's a leak, the angel pronounced. I told you that you were trying to put too much into this model. That's not a leak, the Lord said. It's a tear. What's it for? Asked the angel. The Lord replied, it's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, and pride. You're a genius, shouted the angel. With a somber look, the Lord said, I didn't put the tear there. Mothers are a special creation of God, a wonderful gift that he has given to every one of us. And it is for that reason that we honor mothers today. But in truth, God commands us to honor them all the time. Amen? All the time. Exodus 20:12 says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. And of course, in his complete obedience, Jesus fulfilled this command towards his own mother. And we get a glimpse of how Jesus honored his mother while he was on the cross. Read with me, if you will, John 19, verses 26 through 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by him whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold your son. Then said he to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her unto his own home. You know, this is an incredibly moving moment in which Jesus, hanging in agony on the cross, with the weight of the salvation of the world upon his shoulders, he stops to think about his mother. You have to visualize the scene for a moment. Jesus is suffering excruciating pain. Each passing moment makes it more and more difficult for him to breathe because of the pressure on his organs caused by crucifixion. The crowds are mocking and jeering him that if indeed he is the Son of God, then he needs to save himself. The soldiers are gambling at his feet to see who are going to get his clothes. And the religious leaders are rejoicing. God's eternal plan of salvation rests upon Jesus' shoulders. And he looks down in the midst of all of this pain and suffering and this great eternal purpose that he is fulfilling. And he sees his mother standing near the foot of the cross. And he stops to speak to her and make sure that she is taken care of when he is gone. The theologian and author D.A. Carson says, "It is wonderful to remember that even as he hung dying on a Roman cross, suffering as the Lamb of God, Jesus took thought of and made provision for his mother." This is such an important message for us today, where if we are blessed to have our mothers, yet we can sometimes get so wrapped up in the hectic pace of life and all of the responsibilities weighing upon us that we can take them for granted. As Christians, our goal and desire should be more like Christ. We sing it. We sing songs about being more like Christ. We pray to be more like Christ. Well, being more like Christ involves many things in our life, and one thing that it should include is to be more like Christ in the way that Jesus treated his own mother. His actions from the cross show us several ways that we are to honor our own mothers. We honor our mother by affirming her role in our life. Affirm her love and support of you. You know, other than John, it does not appear that the other disciples were at the cross. The night that Jesus was arrested, if you remember the story, they all fled. And Peter, who followed the furthest to the courts of the Sanhedrin and the high priest, he had sworn his loyalty to Jesus, and yet that night he denied him three times. Peter is not at the foot of the cross. This was the most difficult time in Jesus' life. The time when in his humanity, he most needed the support and comfort of those who claimed to love him. And most of them, most of his disciples, with the exception of John, are nowhere to be found. They are in hiding, fearing for their life. But Jesus looks down from the cross and he sees his mother standing at the foot of the cross. And amidst all of his pain, he acknowledges her presence there with him. He let her know that he sees her standing there with him. Folks, what I want you to remember is that a mother is the one person who will stand with you no matter what. The one person who will be there for you no matter what. When everyone else forsakes you, the mother stands by you. The one person who, though the whole world may turn their back, will still stand by your side. Let your mother know that you see what she has done for you, and that you see that she has been there no matter what. And we need to affirm her for believing in us. Most of Jesus' followers lost faith when they saw him going to the cross. Most of his disciples, they were ready to go back fishing. They were ready to go back to their old walks of life. They lost faith. Some of them on the road to Emmaus said, "We thought that he was the one." Jesus' own brothers did not believe in him until after the resurrection. Most of Jesus' followers lost faith in him at the cross. But from the time that he was born, Mary kept the words that the angel had spoken to her heart concerning her son in her heart, and she pondered them. She kept the words that he would be the Son of God, that his name would be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins, that he would be the Christ, the Lord, the glory of Israel. and how the prophet Simeon prophesied that a sword would one day pierce her own heart, a picture of the deep pain that she would one day experience as she saw her son rejected and watched him while he was crucified on the cross. And Mary believed in her son, even when it seemed like everything had gone wrong. She would not forsake him. She remained faithful even as she stood and watched him take his final breath. What I'm saying is, mothers are their kids' number one fan club. Even if everybody else loses confidence, that mother is there to cheer you on and to say, you can do it. You can make it. I believe in you. Let your mother know that you see that and affirm her for it. Secondly, what we learn from Jesus is that we need to honor our mother by attending to her needs. We honor our mother by attending to her needs. Love is expressed by being attentive to our mother's emotional needs. Jesus had a deep love for his mother, which he expressed in the concern that he showed for her, particularly from the cross. He knew the deep pain that she must have been experiencing as she watched her son suffer and die. And when Jesus said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son," Jesus was letting his mother know that he understood the grief and sorrow that she was feeling over the loss of her son. Jesus was letting her know that although he was leaving her, he was not leaving her alone. He trusted her to John. John, the one that is called the beloved, because from all that we read, he appears to be the closest disciple to the heart of Jesus. And he knew that John would take care of his mother as though she was his very own. Jesus was attending to her emotional need for comfort, for support, for love, for relationship. Folks, this is a part of honoring our parents, of honoring our mother, and it's what God calls us to do. Love is attending to the emotional needs of our mother. How do we do that? If you're grown, it's by calling, it's by visiting, it's by spending time with our mothers, with our grandmothers. If you're still at home, it's by respecting, it's by listening, it's by seeking out their advice and giving heed to it, it's by telling them that you love them, it's by thanking them and appreciating them for all that they do for you. And there's nothing that breaks the heart of a mother or grandmother more than feeling forgotten, unappreciated, or neglected because their children or their grandchildren do not call, do not visit, do not regard them. Folks, if you've got kids and you want them to be attentive to you when you grow old, be attentive to your mother and your father now. Call them regularly, visit them often, care for them in your home when needed, because what your children see you do is what they will learn to do for you when you are old. Amen. Also teach them to call and visit their grandparents, because you are helping them to establish that pattern in their lives. And so you should encourage them to honor and to love their grandparents and to visit and to call them. Why? Because this pleases God. Because his word says, honor your father and your mother. This is how we please God. Love is also expressed by providing for your mother's material needs. Jesus knew the burden of her future that must have been on his mother's heart. After Joseph's death, Mary's husband, as was the custom of the day, Jesus, Mary's oldest son, had apparently stepped in to support the family, becoming a carpenter, taking upon himself his father's trade. So apparently he took over his father's business in order to support Mary and her children, because in that day there were little opportunities available to women. In that culture, a woman without a male family member to care for her had very few options. There was no Social Security, there was no Medicaid, there was no WIC, there was no welfare, there were no 401ks. A woman in that culture could not even own property without a male family member to put his name on it. And when Jesus said to John, "Here is your mother," he was entrusting his mother's care to John, letting John know that he was giving him the responsibility of caring for her as if she was his very own mother. And although John was not wealthy, Jesus apparently knew that he was financially able to support himself and Mary. And we see that John took her to his own home and took care of her. Jesus was concerned that his mother would be taken care of once he was gone, so he provided for her continued support. John was not only obeying Jesus' request by assuming responsibility for Mary, but he was also doing what God himself instructs us to do when he says to honor your mother and father. And in 1 Timothy 5, verses 3 and 4, Paul exhorts the church to provide for widows who are really in need. But Paul gives us several guidelines, including the fact that if a widow has children or grandchildren, they should learn first to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. Why? He says, for this is pleasing to God. Did you hear that? The first line of support for parents and grandparents, God says in his word, should be their children and their grandchildren. They shouldn't have to be, it's wonderful to have Social Security, it's wonderful to have Medicare, but that should not be the primary thing that an elderly person has to look to and say, I hope I make it on this. God calls children and grandchildren to take care of the needs of their parents and their grandparents. It's awful quiet in here. But the Bible says, for this is pleasing to God. Do we want to please God? Then it's not just about coming to church and jumping and hollering and carrying a 50-pound Bible. It's about the way we practically live out our Christianity. Amen. Paul is saying that in God's eyes, it is the responsibility first and foremost of children and grandchildren to help, to care for, to provide for their parents and grandparents' financial needs when necessary. In other words, the true testimony of our Christianity is not how loud we sing in church or what ministries we're involved in, but how we care for our own parents and grandparents. And that is what is pleasing to God. In the Jewish understanding, to honor your father and your mother also included caring for them financially when they were old or when they were sick. And Jesus makes this clear in Mark 7, 9 through 13, when he spoke of those who tried to avoid helping their parents by saying that what they could give to their parents' help was set aside as Corban or set aside as a gift for God. And so what he was saying is that they know what the Word of God says about caring financially for their parents, but they don't want to do it. So their loophole is to say, I can't help my parents because I've set aside this money for God. But they weren't really giving the money to God. They were holding it, in some bank account somewhere or loaning it out to get interest on it. And he speaks very strong words to them. And he says in verse 10, if you curse your father or your mother, you are to be put to death. And what did he mean by cursing them? Not helping them. Not helping them. And unfortunately, in this me-centric time in which we live, it's common for people, even Christians, to forget their elderly parents, to say, leave it up to the government or leave it up to the nursing home to take care of them. But God takes the care of parents very seriously, the neglect of which was punishable by death under the law of Moses. Wow. That's how serious God takes it. You know, it's a joy and a blessing to have my 84-year-old mother living with me, and I'm very grateful for every day that he gives me the privilege of having her with me. And to have my mom with me is a joy because my mother is very easygoing. She has a very good disposition, and she has been good to me my entire life. So it is easy to have my mother living with me. But I do understand that some parents might not be the easiest to get along with. And perhaps there were some parents who were not the best parents when you were growing up. But God calls us to care for our parents, not dependent on their worthiness, but rather dependent on our devotion to God. Not dependent on who they were or what they did to us, but dependent on our relationship with God and our desire to please Him. And I know that there are several here that have devoted yourselves to caring for your parents or your grandparents. And when you sacrifice and do what the Lord says, it pleases Him and He will bless you for it. In Ephesians 6, 2 and 3, quoting back to Exodus 20, Paul says, "Honor your father and mother, for it is the first commandment with promise, so that all may go well with you and you may live a long time in the land." You want to have a good life, a long life, a life where everything goes well with you, a life that's blessed of God? What does God say? Honor your father and mother. When you're young, that means respect them, listen to what they have to say, obey them. Follow their advice, because it's going to keep you from a lot of heartaches and problems. If you listen to your parents, things will go well with you. When you're older, it means honoring your parents by taking care of them, by supporting them, by helping them, by loving them. And God will bless you for doing it. You want God's blessing on your life, young or old? Honor your parents. Honor your mother. And thirdly, we learn from Jesus that we honor our mother by expressing our love for her. You know, we need to verbally express our love for our mother. As Jesus hung on the cross, He spoke words of care and concern for His mother. When was the last time you told your mother or grandmother that you love her and told her how much you appreciated her? Take today as an opportunity to do so. But we should do it more frequently. We need to tangibly express our love for our mother. Jesus could not come down from the cross and embrace Mary in her time of pain and sorrow, but He tangibly expressed love by providing for her care through John. We need to tangibly express our love to our mothers and to our grandmothers. How many times growing up did she give you a hug to reassure you, to comfort you, to let you know it would be all right, to let you know that she loved you and that she was there for you? Now she needs you to embrace her and let her know that you love her, that you are there for her, to comfort her and to express your care for her. When we honor our mothers, we honor God. Today, I think it would be well pleasing to the Lord if we took another moment to honor the mothers in our midst. Mothers, you are the crowning jewel of God's creation, and we love and appreciate you. If Jesus could take the time and the effort for His mother while suffering in agony on the cross as He was dying to save the world from their sins, then can we not take time from our busy and important activities to honor our mothers? Let us never be so busy that we don't have time to honor our mom, because then we are too busy to honor God. But let's honor God today by committing ourselves to show our love and our care for our mothers and grandmothers while we still have them in our lives. And we're going to take that opportunity right now. Every mother that's here, would you stand to your feet right where you are? Every mother that's here. And then any family members that are here with these mothers, would you gather around them today? And let's just lift them in prayer before the Lord for God's blessing, for God's strength, for God's favor upon them. If there's a mother that's standing by herself, just stretch your hands. Husbands, you put your hand. This is the mother of your children. You put your hand around her and you pray for her right now. Would you do that? Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for each and every one of these mothers, Lord God, and for the wonderful and vital role that they have played in each of our lives, Lord God. Father, we thank you for them. We lift them into your presence this morning, oh God. Father, we pray your blessing upon their lives, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would strengthen them, that you would encourage their hearts, Lord God. Father, that you would pour forth of your blessings upon them in even greater measure, Lord God. Let your favor rest upon them every single day, Lord God. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do and for all that you've already done. In Jesus' name, amen.